Youth Sunday. If you have an announcement, I know Corrine had one. If there's anybody else, you guys can come up to the front now, and then we'll go through that. Okay. Do you want to go first? Yeah, come on down. Go for it.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here on behalf of the music committee, and the white stuff has come to stay, which makes a dreary outdoors quite beautiful. So in light of white stuff staying, that means what we're also preparing for Christmas. And so the candlelight practices are going to start next Sunday, November 19th. So if everyone who's involved with that can be prepared, we will fit it into the Sunday with the annual meeting and everything. And the further practices, if you can just take note of that now, are December 14th and 21st. So we look forward to getting ready for Christmas.
Good morning. Clubs has started. I'm very excited about that. This last Wednesday, we had 21 children grace our doors, which I was just super excited about. They were excited. They were joyful. They were noisy, but it was fun. So I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for those who have committed themselves to just serving this year. And I just want to draw your attention to the cookie sign-up that's in the entrance. And I look forward to a really great year. So keep us in your prayers. And thank you.
Yeah, clubs has started. That's great. So welcome here. At some of the announcements, if you look under community announcements, there's some things there that you can take note of. I'm not going to read those all, but in the prayer and praise section, there was one that this morning we are grateful for the many people who work on the various committees in our church. Without their involvement, it would be difficult to continue what is all being done, and so thank you for your commitment of time and energy. And also to our caretakers, Richard and Dorothy, they do a great job of keeping the church clean and looking after, keeping things up to date and maintained. Their work is valued and appreciated. Also, Abram Suderman, grandfather of Jessica and Eric Giesbrecht, passed away on Wednesday, November 8th. The funeral is going to take place on Sunday, November 12th at 2 p.m. in the German Old Colony Church at Hochfeld. We want to wish the family God's nearness and comfort as you lay to rest this important member of your family. Tim Weeb received some encouraging news this past week. The tumor on his brain has so far not returned. Tim is undergoing a week of chemo, and then a follow-up MRI will be done in early December, and we're grateful for this good news. And we're going to continue to uphold Nettie and Tenley and Austin as well when we pray. Congratulations to Jonathan Fair and Joel Workentin, who are married on Saturday. We trust that they'll experience much joy as they live out their commitment to one another under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we want to continue to pray for those in care homes as well. This morning, if there's any other announcements, you can look in your bulletins. For youth this week, we're doing Bible study, so come at the normal time. That'll be great. For the call to worship this morning, I wanted to read, it's a bit of a call and response. Carla, if you can pull this up, that would be awesome. It's Psalm 136, and I'm reading the New International Version. It's basically a call and response, and the leader, I'll read one line, and then the next line is, "His love endures forever." So I'll say something, and then you all say, "His love endures forever." And we'll just go through this psalm, because I think it's a really good reminder of who God is, and it really can set our tone and our focus on him this morning. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. To him alone, who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. Sorry, I lost myself. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever, and gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever, an inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever, and freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. Pray with me. God, thank you so much that you are the God whose love endures forever. I pray that that would be on the top of our minds this morning, that you are a good God and that your love is great. Thank you for your love for us. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team.
Apparently I need a mic. Okay, so we're just going to start off with singing Holy Spirit. And yeah, let's just begin to welcome him here and remember the reason why we came here. It's good to see people and be encouraged by others, but just to keep our focus back on him, we come together just to worship him. Please stand.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Oh,
nothing worth more
that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your present, Lord. Your present, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Also, just another thing about this song. For me, it goes way back when I was a little kid. This was one of my favorite songs. It's called To the River, and I just remembered as a kid, I remember always singing it, and I was so proud that I memorized it. And so, yeah. It's also one of my mom's favorites, too. So.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need. Precious Jesus, I am ready.
surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. To the river I am going. Sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me. Come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Come and join us in the river. Beyond compare, He is calling, He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready. Surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there.
Okay, so now we're going to be singing a bit of a newer song. So some of you may know it. If you know it, belt it with all your hearts. And if you don't know it, listen to the words, if anything, and just, just enjoy.
You walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. And nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. And when you walk into the room,
to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise. There is resurrection life in all you do. And we love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you. Never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live. Jesus, we love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
I'd like to invite the ushers for the offertory. Thank you. Thank you, Josh and Tyson. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the many people who give of their time and their talents to serve your church and to build your kingdom. God, we want to pray for those of Abraham Suderman's family. Give them comfort and peace. Father, we pray also for all of those dealing with sickness or illness, whether they're in the bulletin or they haven't talked about it. God, I pray that your healing hand would be on them, and that you would bring comfort, and that your character would be fully formed in them. Father, we pray a blessing on Jonathan Fair and Joelle Workentine. And we pray for those in care homes. We pray for Trudy and Helen and Jake, Mary and Peter. And Father, we just pray that you would be near to them, and that if they need a visit, that you would nudge somebody to go and visit them and say hi to them, to talk to them. And Father, we just pray that you would give them healing in their health issues as well. Father, thank you for your great care for us. And we pray that you would be honored and glorified through our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite Rudy up to do the deacon nominations.
Just as an introduction, I would invite you to take your bulletins and go to the insert. We go through a few things there just to clarify what it is that we're wanting to do this morning. On that insert, in the inside page, it mentions we as a congregation have continually been blessed by the ministry of dedicated and caring deacons in our church. It is an important ministry. Much of that work is unseen, but we do continue to uphold one another in our prayers, encourage each other, comfort and challenge each other, so that the body of Christ may be built up. There's a list there of what we are asking of the deacons, and further below that list, just to go through that other points, both those currently serving as deacons are Gary and Carla Fair, Ray and Charlotte Clausen, Henry and Sarah Fraze, Abe and Viola Fair. Both Henry and Sarah Fraze, Ray and Charlotte Clausen have served 1 3-year term and are eligible for re-election. We haven't had a full complement of deacons for just a couple of years, and we'd like to regain that if we could. So for this year, we're looking to fill 3 positions. All members currently attending are eligible to nominate. All members currently attending are eligible to be nominated. So what we're asking, if you would consider this blank ballot and have 3 slots on it, you would fill that up with 3 members. If you are not able to fill with 3, then fill with however many. You might have just 1 that comes to your mind, or 2. We're looking to see if we can fill 3 positions, though. If you write the name of a couple, that would be considered one position. If you write the name of a single person, that is also one position, just to clarify that. Are there any questions? Anything that's not clear? I was not able to have time this morning to check on people to help hand out ballots. Can we hand out some? Some can hand out. We have some pencils and some extra ballots. If someone would go upstairs as well. We have lots of ballots. Does everybody have access to one? We got lots. I'd ask you then to write your names on those ballots, and once you have written your names, can you pass those ballots to the center of the aisles and we'll pick them up. Has everyone had a chance to hand theirs in? I would like to thank you so much then for your prayerful consideration of this, and we'll take it from here. Yeah, thank you.
I'd like to invite the worship team up again.
Please join us in standing and we're singing What a Beautiful Name.
Didn't want heaven without us.
Also be somewhat newer, but I think we sung it a couple times, so no longer slaves.
You unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. Rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I am reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 37-47. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. This corrupt generation, those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders, and the miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added their number daily, those who were being saved.
Check. Hello. First of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody who has been faithfully praying for the youth and young adults of our congregation for many years. I really appreciate your prayers personally, because I've been a young adult in our congregation for a while. And I also know a lot of the young adults, and I think that a lot of your prayers are being answered in their lives, and I really am thankful for those who support in that way. I also want to thank you for your prayers for Cassie and myself and our kids. We just really appreciate knowing that there's a congregation behind us that loves us and cares for us. At this time, I'm going to invite a few people up here, and we're going to do a bit of a question and answer time to start off this morning. So I'd like to invite Rudy, Katrina, and Kendra. Come on up. So this morning, I'm going to ask a few questions. We're going to be talking a bit about discipleship and about this journey of faith that we're on. And so I've got a few questions, which I was going to send to some of these people earlier in the week, and I forgot, and they didn't ask. And so they may be off the cuff here a little bit. Katrina and Kendra, who just volunteered this morning, so thank you for that. So the first question that I have is, when did you first learn about God's love for you? And I'd like each of you to answer this one.
I think probably at home, and like when I was I grew up in the Summerfield Church, and I was given a kid's Bible, and I remember when I first learned to read, I just like read. I remember being in grade two and stuff, and like talking to my friends about which book of the Bible I was reading, and like, and it was like, so I feel like God's Holy Spirit was just leading me from a very young age, just drawing myself to him.
Yeah, for me, I was at, for since I was like 6 months old until I started school, I was at my babysitter's house, and she's like another parent to me. And she always, I remember, always had the radio going, and it was like Focus on the Family and like all these things, and it was just like always in the back of my mind. And then I remember one day I was at home, and I was about to go to my babysitter's, and I tried to tell my parents that I was a Christian, but I didn't know how to say it really. The word, that is, because it was hard to say. And that's when I first heard about Jesus, but when I feel like it was really in junior high when I started like knowing that he loved me and cared for me from going to like my youth. Yeah.
I think for myself, I'd echo some of what has been said, but certainly the influence of my home, my parents, the devotions, the prayers they had, also Sunday school. I had some very influential Sunday school teachers. For those of you who come from Boisvane, Tante Micha, just very, very dedicated Sunday school teachers who loved their students, who loved the Word, who loved to speak about Jesus, and who lived that, and it exuded from them, and you couldn't help but know that what they were saying was really, really important to them, and this was something that was supposed to be important to you too.
That leads to my next question is, when did you really start to believe that God loves you? Not just knowing it, but actually believing it in your heart.
I think one moment that was, there was probably a few moments back, probably when I started going to youth here. I could have been in grade 9 or grade 10. I remember we did a crosswalk. Where you like, don't know if they still do it, but like where you carry the cross and then like you stop every so often, and then like they read part of like the Christmas or the Easter story and stuff. And I remember there was one part where like, we were told to like, we're supposed to, it was the part where they yell, crucify him, crucify him. And we were like supposed to yell that out. And like, that was so hard for me, and I was like almost crying. And then I remember coming back to the youth hut, and then we sang How Deep the Father's Love for Us, and then like I just remember feeling God's presence so strong in that moment. So
I think I would have to say junior youth as well at my church in Plum Coulee that I went to. And I remember specifically one evening we had someone who came and prayed over us, and it was it was just like, so what he said to me was so perfect, and what he prayed over me was exactly what I needed to hear. And I was just very unfamiliar with that at the time because I was 12 and had never experienced that, and that just really struck me as that it was real and that it wasn't just like this pretend thing.
I think for myself, it would have been two influences. One was just a shout out to the Gideons. When I got my little Bible in grade 5, that Bible somehow was just seen to be something really significant. This was God's word for me. And I remember reading this, and I know the influence of my mother, who said when they used to go to camp, if they memorized 500 verses, they could go to camp for free. So that's what they did. They just memorized 500 verses and recited them. They'd have to recite them as well. So I don't know, somehow I meant if that was it, but it got me inspired to memorize scripture. I memorized a lot of scripture as a child. And those words and the message at camp, the camp influence and the Gideon's Bible, that started to solidify that a whole lot more.
My next question is, have you been a part of a community where you could really be yourself, you'd share who you really are, and if so, where or with who? What's that like for you?
I think my first really good experience with community would probably have been my sword trip in grade 12, where, like, it was just cool to have, like, every night we'd have, my favorite time was team time, because then every night I could, like, share how I was doing, so that was really cool for me. And, like, just saying, hey, this is where I'm at, like, this is how I'm doing, and, yeah, just have, like, people not, yeah, like, they just love you for who you are, not for, yeah, I don't know, that's really cool. And then someone else who's been super, a huge blessing in my life would be my friend Nettie. Like, I could not even, I was her crying. Yeah, it's the friend she's been to me. It's incredible.
For me, I was incredibly blessed to go to a school where I had an elementary school, where I had just the closest friends. There were 5 of us girls, and every recess, we wouldn't go outside. I don't quite know why, but we would go into the library, and every recess, so 4 times a day, we would talk about, like, in grade 7 and 8, about, like, our journey with God and, like, how we were and how we were feeling. And, like, yeah, like, I know those people better than, like, anyone in anyone, it feels like. And, yeah, and just even, like, we don't see each other as much as we used to, but we still get together all the time, and we can still have those talks, and it's just so neat to see that those relationships that have been built are solid, and that even, like, distance and time doesn't necessarily change that when you have, like, that solid foundation. And then I also think the young adults in this church, we're starting to have that kind of, like, community feeling, and we're getting there.
I think one of the first things that comes to my mind would probably be the 2 years that I spent at Elam Bible School. The school had been struggling for some time, and they actually closed it for 1 year to see if they could regenerate some renewed interest. They changed the staff and got new people to come and head up the school, and then there was an opening for people to come. And so we came. At that year, I believe there was probably about a dozen to 15 of us from Boysville alone who came to the school. And that community that was generated with 37 students that first year was something that has stayed with me for many, many years. And the second year, we had a few more students, and the community that was developed there, you get a good taste of that stays with you for a good number of years. It's been almost 40 years now, and those bonds of friendship and fellowship and Christian community have really nurtured and developed something within. It was, yeah, the spontaneous kinds of times we would spend just with a guitar singing the songs that we love to sing, the chapels, the community service we did, the studies, and the shared values that we had, and the shared lived experience of our growth in faith was phenomenal.
All right, the next question that I have, and I'd like one of you to answer this one, maybe. Well, maybe all of you. Do you feel confident that you know how to read, interpret, and apply God's word to your life? You can pass if you like, but...
I'd say yes and no. I think, yeah, there's been times when I've been so sure that I've, like, I don't know what I'm going to say. Like, this experience is, like, where I've, like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm past.
I'm going to go along your trail because I want to say yes and no in the sense that sometimes I have been so sure that I know what something means, and then experience or revelation will just be like, no, like, you actually didn't get it that time. And that's been really hard. But I feel like through each of those experiences, I get a better grasp. And it's one of those things where sometimes it is the mistakes and that are hard. That's where the growth happens. So yes and no.
Should I go on with that or not? The yes and no? Yeah. Yeah, I decide. Okay. I think it's a wise answer. Partly because the words of Scripture, I find, as has been explained often, there are so many layers and meanings and levels of meaning. You can think of something surface, you can think of something deeper, you can think of something more profound that it comes to you later. And this is the same passage of Scripture. Just one example. I was talking with a fellow the other day in the hospital, and we were talking about Psalm 23, and I said, you know, I've read that psalm for how many times, memorized it, spoke about it, but I never, ever noticed. It says, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, or, I mean, the translation says death. It also can equally be translated deep darkness in terms of the Hebrew. But I'd never noticed the word shadow. Now, if you think about shadow, what is there that causes a shadow? I mean, it's light. The light causes the shadow. In the valley, there is still light. And you walk in that shadow, and you don't walk alone because there's light. Never noticed that.
Yeah. Briefly, who taught you how to read and interpret the Bible?
I think for me the main thing would be, like, I've listened to lots of, like, teachers and sermons and stuff like that, but above all, I think the Holy Spirit is the one who, like, he's the one who reveals stuff, and I think my dad had said that if you want wisdom, you just have to ask God for it, because it says in James, that's my dad's name too, it says in James that if you ask for wisdom, he will give without, like, the hesitation or whatever. And so that's what, like, ever since I was young, I just, every day I think I was praying for wisdom and wisdom and wisdom. And so I think the Holy Spirit is a huge part of that.
I can't beat that. Yeah, I'll just pass it.
To read and interpret, I've always been inspired by people who I know have loved the Word and who speak about it in ways that is evident. And like Kendra was saying, the Holy Spirit, hugely important. The community of faith, people who you trust and know, who you've learned from, hugely important.
The next question that I have is a little bit different than those, maybe. But the question is this. What have you given up for Jesus on your faith journey?
I'm going to think, and then I can come back to you.
Okay. Okay, so I consider this giving something up, even though it wasn't really by my choice. In my faith journey, a lot of it has been health-related. I think most of you would know, but I have a tumor in my spinal cord. So there's always the chance of never walking at some points in my life. And I faced that very tangibly twice. And I've given up some things. Like, that really bother me sometimes. Like I can't run, and which seems minor, but it feels like a big deal. So I feel like even though it wasn't something that I chose to give up, I feel like in a way I did give it up, and I've made it into something that I gave up for the Lord. Not that I'm just a victim of circumstance, and that it's something that I might have given up potentially forever, maybe not, I don't know, but that he's in that and he's working in that, and that in a way it's been a very weird blessing because I get to experience the Lord's goodness in very tangible ways and very, yeah, and learn to trust him in very crazy ways. So I'll say that.
Can I just ask a follow-up question? Is there likelihood that the tumor will again grow, or does it not, or what is the chance?
Currently, my tumor is growing. So my last MRI was in June, and then I had a follow-up appointment in October, and so there's growth. So we don't really know what that means. They just have to monitor it, and I have to make sure I'm feeling good, which is always stressful, because I'm the only one who can really answer the question if I'm feeling good. And it's easy to want to lie and convince myself that I'm feeling great, but I am actually feeling great, which is not a lie. But yeah, so there is always a chance, and that there will have to be further intervention of some kind. Your turn now.
I had at least two more questions, but okay. What have I given up? Wow, that. My first response, I guess, to that would be, I trust that I still am on a journey of continuing to simply deny oneself and to take up one's cross and to follow Jesus. That has embarked me on a journey, and I don't know if it's so much of what I've given up and haven't seen, but hopefully I've continued to follow and follow faithfully.
I had two stories come to mind. One, I would be a lot more vulnerable than the other, so I feel like I probably should do that one. Oh, no. It's okay. One thing, like, I recently did a school in Mexico, in Tijuana. I did a DTS. And before that, I had been, many of you probably do not know, but I was in a relationship. I had a boyfriend, but it was just not a very healthy relationship, and I had a hard time getting out of it because, I knew the whole time I was in, I didn't want to be in it, but I could never, I think like I'd try to break up with him, and every time he would cry, and then I'd feel bad, and then that would be it, and I was like, this is, and it was just so sucky and stuff, but then I was like, well, I have a boyfriend, I could just get married and make a mistake, and then I'll just ask for forgiveness, and like, that's the stupidest way to think, but then, in YWAM, I feel like one of the main reasons God sent me there is so that I could get kind of free from this. And so, there was one time, God was just beginning to speak very strongly to me, because he loves me so much, he doesn't want me to be in a place of just, like, bondage. And so then, all of a sudden, I was in the prayer room, and then two times it happened in YWAM where I just randomly, I just flipped to a page, and then it was where I was supposed to read, and like, I used to say that never works, but it worked a few times. And it was in Isaiah, and it's the one about who, oh shoot, I should bring my Bible up here. Isaiah something. It says, who, like, can the pot, like, can the clay say to the potter, you know nothing? And like, goes along the line of like, you are the clay, I am the potter, like, I know what's best for you. You should listen to me, like, you can't, and so, like, you can't hide, and I have the power, you can't hide from things from me, and I've often been trying to hide things from him and from people, and so then I was like, okay, I finally just, like, gave it up, and I just did, ended it, and no matter what it was like, and then I received, like, so much, like, incredible amount of joy and peace, just knowing that if you're in the will of God, you're gonna have peace, and you're gonna have joy, and, like, because he wants, his best is the best, And like we have to trust that it's the best, because sometimes we, I don't know, we don't believe it is, but we need to believe it.
My last question for you guys this morning is, describe an experience or something that has had a strong impact on your faith journey. What's something that's had like the strong or the strongest impact in your faith journey?
Oh dear. Yes, okay.
There's a number of things that would come to mind. I guess uppermost would be another shorter one. But this was a number of years ago. I'm not sure if I've told this story or not, but we had a neighbor who was experiencing some health issues. They weren't life-threatening or anything, but every once in a while, he would need to go to the hospital and check in there. And one day when I was home back in the Altona Hospital, the visiting hours are closed at 8:30. It was 10 after 8, and I had this really, really strong notion that I was supposed to go visit my neighbor. He was still in the hospital, and I figured, well, there isn't going to be much time. By the time I get there, why am I supposed to go visit my neighbor? He's not really seriously sick. But the voice and the urging wouldn't quit, so I decided to go, and I got there. I visited with him. He was doing fairly well. He was probably going to be released the next day, he said. And I kind of wondered, well, it's good to see him, though. And I talked for about 5 minutes, and the announcement came over and said, you know, we'd ask visitors to leave. And so I just said goodbye to him. I made my way out the door, or just at the door, and there's this nurse that walked by, and she looked like she wasn't doing well, and I just asked her, so what's happening for you? And she said, well, I've just come from this hospital room, and there's this fellow who's not doing very well, and I've been trying to get a hold of his family, and I just really can't get a hold of his family because, well, to put it plainly, he is dying, and they were just here, and they left, and I can't get a hold of them. So I told her, well, why don't you go and keep trying to get a hold of them, and I'll go and see how he's doing. I'll stay with him. So I went to his room, and it's a fellow that I knew, and like she said, he was not doing well, and he wouldn't be here long. So we talked about Psalm 23. I prayed with him yet, and during that time when I was there with him, he passed away. Later at the funeral, when I met with the family, his wife came to me, and she said she was so very, very grateful that somebody had been there. Even though they hadn't been able to be there, and she was sorry about that, but they were so grateful that he hadn't died alone. That had been his wish, that had been the family's wish. They did not want him to be alone, and he had not been alone. And so, yeah, it starts to be a little clear as to, well, why are you supposed to go visit your neighbor? But to hear that, to know that, to trust that, and to go with that at times is so very important. Just one other quick one. For those of you who were at the funeral yesterday for John Schrader from Blumenort, formerly from Blumenort, there was his granddaughter. She's, what, grade 6? And she sang for the congregation this song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. It was just an impactful moment for us to be led by this child in that song. Now, the story behind the song was that her grandpa would come to pick her up at school, drive her home to her home in Blumenort, and when they were on the way, they would sing this song. Just as a testimony of their faith in God, the testimony of this grandfather-granddaughter relationship, and the testimony to the goodness of God. And it was just a very impactful moment and a good time to hear that.
What's the question again? Okay, that's what I thought. I just didn't want to go off on a tangent. Interestingly, that triggered a memory for me, which I think has more impact than I often think about. And, interesting that this is what's in my head. But for me, when I was in grade 9, my grandpa had a stroke. And because he had cancer, and it was like around his some important vein, and he had a stroke, and he was fine, but he couldn't talk properly anymore. Like, he could talk, but all his words were wrong. What's it called? aphasia. He had aphasia. And so I don't know why, but it was very, I had a good relationship with him, but it was very important for me to spend like a lot of time with him because I knew he was going to die soon. And it felt like everyone else, my cousins, were kind of scared to talk to him because they didn't know how to. But somehow I didn't care. And he would just like tell me all these stories that didn't make any sense. But then he'd have like these certain words or like combinations of words that like were just so powerful, and how like his faith would like shine through even though he couldn't like communicate it properly. And like one time he was sitting in his rocking chair and I was sitting on the couch and he was telling me all these things, and then he looks at me, he's like, you know, God and Jesus, they're my good ones. And I don't know, that's just, I just love that. I think that's so cool. And like, I have like a book of like quotes from him, but that one always stands out to me. And it's like, that's basically like all you need to know, right? Like, that's faith in a nutshell.
Thank you very much for your words, for answering those questions, and for being honest and real with us. I would love to spend all morning asking every single one of you out there what your faith journey has been like, because everybody's journey is a little bit different, but we don't have time for that. So I'm going to send these three down, and then we'll continue on. Yeah, just leave the chairs. That's fine. Thanks again. This morning, I wanted to talk about discipleship and the journey of discipleship. And we've talked about a few different things with these awesome volunteers we had. And we've heard some of their stories. And this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to switch mics now, hold on. About the church. And as the church, we need to be a place where we can share with each other what's really going on, whether it's exciting things, joyful things, or whether it's hard things in our journey, because we can't do this on our own. We can't journey by ourselves. There's a few things about a disciple. I've been reading this book called In the Way of Jesus, and in his book, Paul Kraker writes a few different things, but there's some tips that I found in there about the journey of a disciple, and I'm going to try and not keep you guys here super long, so I'm not really going by my notes, so this might just sound a little bit funny, but try and interpret well. But there's a few things that I wanted to mention. A disciple... In the life of a disciple, he said these are components of discipleship training for global disciples, and there's a few things that have to happen in the life of a disciple. And he says that a disciple must come to know and accept the Father's love. And so the first question that we asked was, how did you learn about the love of God, and when did you first come to really accept it and believe it? And each of us probably has a story about that. When did we learn about it? Was it Sunday school? Was it camp? Was it through our parents and devotions that we read? But when did we really come to know it and to really believe it in our hearts? And I think that for us is a different story sometimes. It's a different place and it's a different person. And sometimes it's in really weird moments that aren't big or flashy, but maybe they're when you're by yourself and all of a sudden God's Holy Spirit just reveals to you, hey, I love you, I'm for you, and I'm with you. That thing that you know, it's true. And that's amazing. The second thing that he talks about is that a disciple... Hold on. I think I put my notes in the wrong order. Judah was pulling my papers off the printer this morning, and so my notes may have gotten kind of weird. But a disciple must learn to be part of a transparent community where their lives are shaped by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's what the church is. And not just the church as in Blumenort Mennonite Church that's gathering here this morning, because not everybody has a chance to share exactly what's going on in their life with each other. But it's the small groups that get together when we meet with other believers and we have opportunity to share with those people about what's really going on in our hearts and our lives, and we have opportunity to uphold each other and share with each other. That is what we need to be a part of. And if those groups are part of this congregation, I'm thankful for that. And if they're just parts of other believers in this body of Christ that we call the church that spreads throughout southern Manitoba and beyond, that's amazing too. And so be a part of those groups, because they're transformational. Another thing that needs to happen in the life of a disciple is a disciple must learn to listen for guidance from the Holy Spirit and to to discover their spiritual gifts. I don't know if this process happens overnight. I've done lots of spiritual gift inventories and things like that, but I still don't always feel like I know exactly what my spiritual gifts are. And I do believe that God's Holy Spirit is diverse and he can work in us in any situation to bring to bear whatever gift he wants to bring to us in that moment to build his kingdom. But I do think that sometimes he gifts certain people with specific gifts at a specific time for a specific reason, and it's amazing to learn those. At our youth retreat this past couple of weeks ago, our speaker talked to us about hearing the voice of God and spending time listening to him. And he explained it really well, and I probably won't do as good a job in the short time that I have this morning, but I want to just mention this to you guys, that if God, Jesus says, it's better for you that I go away, and if it's better for him to go away and the Holy Spirit to come, then there's got to be something there. There's got to be something that the Holy Spirit can do that Jesus walking beside us physically wouldn't or couldn't do for us. And I think we heard a bit about that through Rudy's stories and through the stories of these girls as well, is just that when we listen to him, when we pay attention to some of those nudgings, hey, maybe you should pray for this person. Hey, maybe you should go do this kind thing for this person. Some of those things we need to act on instead of just ignoring them. And so I want to encourage you guys to listen to those things, but also to spend time in his word, because he speaks to us through his word over and over again. And if he commands us to do something in his word, if he says you shouldn't steal, don't do it. There's some pretty simple things like that where we need to listen to his spirit. The next thing that a disciple must do is a disciple must be taught to read, interpret, and apply God's word for themselves and with others. And this is one that I really appreciated their answers, yes and no, yes and no. How have you come to read and interpret the Bible? I think that it's important to read the scripture and to learn to interpret it to our lives. And one of the things that has struck me is when Pastor Rudy sometimes mentions, he says, it's important to recognize what in scripture is prescriptive and what in scripture is descriptive. And if it's a story that's telling us about how things were, it can still teach us lessons. But if it's a story or if it's something where Jesus is commanding something and telling us to do something, then we need to listen to that and obey it as well. And we need to recognize the difference. And so if you are at a place where you don't feel like you know very well and you think there's somebody in your life that probably does know pretty well, ask them to show you what they do or teach you what they do when they're spending time with the Lord. What does that look like? How do you read the Bible? How do you interpret it? Maybe some of the lay ministers would give some tips to people as well. I think they do a good job. The next thing is a disciple must deny their self and follow Jesus. And this one hits us right between the eyes sometimes, because the truth is that our self doesn't really want to be kind to others or to put others first or to do things that'll benefit other people and not ourselves. And I think that's often what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to do things that aren't comfortable. He calls us to give up time. He calls us to give up some of our money, maybe. He calls us to give up some of our comfort, just to be in the lives of people who need to hear his love, need to know his love, need to experience his love through other people as well. And so I want to encourage you, if God is calling you to do something, to deny yourself, and you're struggling with it, and you're saying, well, why would I do that, or you're having a hard time with it, just do it. It's the better way. The next thing about a disciple is that a disciple must bear fruit. And Jesus says, in our verse in the bulletin, it says, hold on. Somewhere there. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples, in John 15:8. And the truth is that the fruit that we bear as disciples, if you think about a fruit tree grows from a seed, and the seed grows up into a tree, and the tree produces fruit, and the fruit produces seeds again, and then the seeds go and produce more trees. And that's how fruit works. And if we talk about bearing fruit, we often have a problem with that. We think, well, what's fruit? What's the fruit of being a disciple? What's the fruit of doing this? The truth is that if we bear fruit as disciples, we're going to make more disciples. If we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if we're following him, and that's the fruit that we are, then the seed that we're producing is going to produce more disciples. And so if that's not true of your life, I would encourage you to seek the Lord and ask him what you need to do to change that. Whether it's pouring into one person and showing them what you know and helping them to learn that and to become like you so they can become like Jesus and follow him well, then do that. I know there's lots of people who do this really well, and so I want to encourage you guys to do that too. Denying ourselves and taking up our cross, often what that looked like in the life of a new believer was that they would go and get baptized. In the verse that we read, Acts 2, verses 37 to 47, that Jonah read for us this morning, thank you, Jonah, for doing that. It talks about about the early church and the way that they did things. And Peter preached to them. He said, repent and be baptized. Follow Jesus, because he's the Lord. He's the Messiah that God has sent. And this is the message that he gave. And so I want to encourage you guys that baptism is an important next step in the life of a believer. If you're somebody who says, I believe in Jesus, I know the truth, I know what he has said, I've accepted it, I believe it, and you're not baptized, I would ask you why. Why not? If you believe in Jesus and you're all in, get baptized. It's an important part of the journey of faith. And if you're nervous about it, or you're not sure about it, or you're waffling, or you're not sure what to do about that, I would ask you to talk to somebody about it. Rudy or I or the lay ministers, anybody would be willing to have a conversation with you about that, or even the deacons as well. But baptism is an important next step. It symbolizes the truth that we have accepted this truth about Jesus. We believe in him, and we want to follow him with our lives. And so this morning, church, thank you for the investments that you've made in the youth, in discipling them, in spending time with them, in showing and modeling to them a faith that is lived out, a faith that that shows love to others regardless of their social status or their economic status. And I just ask that you would continue to do that. Continue building into the young people and the not quite so young people. Continue discipling and continue following Jesus, because he is the only one worth following, because he is so good to us. Amen.
Would you please join us in singing Good, Good Father? Please stand.
Hardly think as you call me deeper.
still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am. It's who I am, it's who I am.
You're a good, good
Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Pray with me. Yielded to the Holy Spirit, just like clay in the potter's hand, may we daily learn to follow to the places broken, lonely, where good news of the love of Jesus transforms earth to the will of the Father. And we say by our obedience, not my will, but yours be done. Amen. Go in peace.